Hello once again, everybody, and thank you for joining me here on this special edition of Bang the Book Radio, chatting UFC 238 with Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Christian, how's it going today, man?
Good, buddy. We are trying to fight through some technical difficulties over here, but we're going to get through it, and we have a great upcoming weekend of fights and somebody going for the illustrious champ for the third time in UFC history, and we have two crowd favorites out there as well, so it's a pretty entertaining card from all perspectives, including a betting one.
Yeah, it definitely is. We're definitely doing everything that we can here to try and get you out something for this UFC 238 card. We've had a myriad of technical issues, as Christian just mentioned. So hopefully everything's going off okay with this one. But you know, as you mentioned here, for this card in Chicago, two title fights, one guy looking to be a champ. That is Henry Cejudo takes on Marlon Moraes. This is one where Cejudo makes the jump from flyweight up to bantamweight. How do you think he handles that leap?
It's going to be very interesting when you look at a guy like Cejudo. I mean, you don't look, you know, when you talk about champs inside the UFC's octagon, you know, it's really the illustrious, decorated, and the elite. And, you know, when Cejudo was coming up, I don't think that many people thought that that could ever be in his future. But yet here we are, and he is going for that. And it's going to be a very interesting fight. You know, this to me, you know, on paper, Cejudo has every advantage. We talk about, you know, striking, you talk about takedowns, you talk about anything and everything. On paper, he looks to have the advantage over Moraes, except for one glaring, you know, part of his game, and that's the finishing power that Moraes has. And when I say power, I don't mean just the knockouts, although he does have 10, also six submissions along the way as well. So Cejudo's certainly going to be the more polished, the more technical kind of all-around fighter, but the, you know, the ability to finish a fight from behind is something that cannot be understated here. It's a good line. I really do agree with it. You know, if Cejudo goes into this trying to replicate his fight with Dillashaw and kind of falls in love with that new karate mindset that he has, he doesn't want to get into a firefight with Marlon Moraes. That is for sure. So he has to really look to kind of duplicate the performance that he put on against Demetrius Johnson to have success, in my estimation. But I really would side with Moraes here just because, again, there's more paths to victories. He has the submission route. He has the knockout route, and he can win a decision. I don't see Cejudo finishing this. I think he really has to win a decision in dominant fashion to get this job done.
Well, and that's one of the questions here. Moraes minus 130, Cejudo plus 110 on the takeback is going up a weight class in a championship fight with the championship rounds. As you said, if Cejudo needs to win a decision, that means his gas tank has to be running for, you know, 25 minutes here in this fight. And I feel like that, with the weight increase, is a legitimate concern.
Yeah, it really is for sure here. And look, as long as Moraes kind of respects that striking of Cejudo, and he is going to need to pace himself as well. I think that throughout this fight, he's going to be kind of playing a little bit of a matador. He's going to be on his heels and trying to, you know, get into that cardio gas tank of Cejudo. And I think that he can along the way. So I really do see this fight kind of ending inside the distance. By my estimation, likely by a Moraes knockout, you know, kind of coming off a counter punch or something like that. But yeah, the cardio issue, the going up in weight class, it'll be interesting to see how he handles it, you know, at 32 years of age.
All right, so we go from somebody going up in weight class to somebody who went down in weight class recently. That's Jessica Eye. She's going to go for the flyweight strap. Valentina Shevchenko, a minus 1,400 or so favorite out there. So obviously the odds maker is not expecting this to be much of a contest. Are you?
You know, my jaw would not be on the ground if Jessica Eye goes out there and quote-unquote shocks the world. And you got to remember, I was probably the biggest Jessica Eye detractor out there when she came up. The thing about that is when she was coming up, there wasn't a flyweight division. This is Eye's natural weight, and she has looked, you know, to be on a career resurgence. She has looked great. That being said, Valentina Shevchenko is kind of in the Ronda Rousey mold right now. She is, you know, before the rest of that division, the new kind of era of women's mixed martial arts kind of caught up to her, specifically in that weight class. But that is what Shevchenko is trailblazing right now, a new division, and she is leaps and bounds better than absolutely everybody. She has to respect Eye's power. She does have the heavy hands. And to me, I think that Jessica Eye comes out there knowing that she doesn't have what it takes at this point to kind of match, you know, style for style with Shevchenko, who is just so much better really than anyone on the planet at this you know, weight class. So I think she empties the gas tank early. I think she throws everything at Shevchenko. You could have a live betting opportunity in between rounds. And don't be surprised if Jessica Eye just empties the gas tank, wins round one, and maybe you get a nice little, you know, discount on the Shevchenko price. While Jessica Eye, you know, obviously would, you know, lean towards her favor or her kind of gassing out late. So I think that Shevchenko does do this, but if you're looking, you know, to place a long shot, I think that Eye in even, you know, Ivy a knockout, something like that, as she kind of goes balls to the wall, is certainly worth a little bit of a long shot nibble. But yeah, if you're asking me to make a pick, this line is where it is for a reason. She's the best in the world at this class.
Well, I know that you typically like to look at the over-unders for the women's fights. We've talked about this before. Lots of streaks on the over 2.5s. Championship rounds here, obviously, with the 4.5. And something interesting about Jessica Eye, changing camps about 2 weeks ago, goes from Strong Style in the Cleveland area to Extreme Couture. Again, very short notice for that camp change going into this fight. Does that impact your handicap? Obviously, the side at minus 1,400 is a lot. Does that impact your handicap on the total?
It's weird. You know, when you look at people changing camps, this is it's not curious that she did it, more so than the timing of it. Look, you know, when you're going up against, you know, for your biggest fight in your mixed martial arts career for a title, you know, I would like to probably run with what brought me to the dance. That's obviously a personal decision for her and her team, and they made that decision. Look, you know, when you talk about the over under round prop for this, it's really interesting to me because I think that there's two schools of thought. The first one is kind of what I laid out. And I think that I just goes for it. The other one is she can really kind of use this to, a self-teaching moment for her. She can kind of know that, you know, I don't say know that she can't win because anything is possible, but I think that she can really gain a lot of experience from 25 minutes with Valentina Shevchenko, whether she wins or loses, and could be looked at as the greatest 25 minutes that she will ever be able to train for, and use it, you know, as a building block going forward and what to look for and all those type of things. So it's really interesting to see kind of where her, you know, where she'll be kind of in her head philosophically from that standpoint. Again, not to say she's going to go out there and just spar and try to survive, but I think she is good enough to survive if she, you know, kind of takes that safer route. However, I would, you know, kind of the longer this fight goes, the less chance I give her. So it'll be kind of interesting to see which way she goes with it.
So this is our third crack at recording this. So time becoming a little bit of a factor, some prior commitments, obviously this UFC card here on Saturday. So want to make sure we get this out with as much lead time as possible. So what we're going to do here, jump around on the rest of the card to the stronger opinions that Christian has for UFC 238. One of them being this bantamweight fight between Cowboy Cerrone and Tony Ferguson. Cerrone fighting with a very quick turnaround, last fought in the first week of May, now coming back here the second week of June, and he's got a pretty tough competitor in Tony Ferguson.
Yeah, and when you talk about the turnaround for a guy like Cowboy, look, this is what he does, this is who he is. And so if it was somebody else, you know, I would probably, if I was, you know, wanted to be on that Cerrone side, it may keep me off when you talk about such a short layoff for guys, but this is what he does. This is who he is. And, you know, 36, much older in fight years, like you said, but this is something, you know, look, I really do favor Tony Ferguson and I favor him a lot. I think that you're almost getting a discount because of this line. Look, this is two fan favorites. One guy is currently on the longest winning streak in the lightweight history, and the other has the most wins in UFC history. This is going to be, you know, to me, this is pretty simple. This is the line in the sand of who Donald Cerrone is. And I'm not saying that to be negative. What I mean by that is he loses to the best of the best at the time. Now you can go back and you can nitpick. Was Darren Till, you know, kind of a flash in the pan? Robbie Lawler at the time, what, back in 2017? Rafael Dos Anjos twice, and kind of we'll keep it there. Look, all Cerrone does is win, but I've seen this kind of time and time again, not taking anything away from Ally Aquinta. Alexander Hernandez was just a little bit too much too soon for him. Mike Perry shown to be a very flawed fighter. When you look at who he's lost to, again, at the time, these are top five guys. Leon Edwards, Darren Till, Lawler, Masvidal, as I talked about. I've seen this kind of movie play out before. I don't really buy into, again, much like anybody, I love Donald Cerrone. I just don't buy him kind of having this, what, fifth act of his career now, going to this, old new division, and having title aspirations. To me, in a war of attrition where two guys want to go out there and put on a show, you're never going to get me betting against Tony Ferguson. Just not going to happen. The guy's too good. He's too skilled. And I've just seen this movie play out with Cerrone so many times. So I really do favor Tony Ferguson in this situation.
I may have misspoke. I think I might have said bantamweight. It is in the lightweight division. And for Cerrone here, fifth fight in a calendar year, two of them going 25 minutes, including that one back on May 4th. So obviously we'll see how much Cowboy still has in the gas tank, because this is a guy that's fought a ton over the course of his career. We move on to the prelim card, and there are actually five women's fights out of 13 here on the card. I know that you've got some strong thoughts on the Alexa Grasso fight. She's, what, in the minus 105, plus 105 range in that area?
Yep, minus 105, minus 110s in town right now, kind of painted across the board as I look at that. And yeah, Grasso, you know, I think that this is a really interesting fight. You look at Carolina, I mean, she was, what, the last person to defeat Rose before Andrade. That's a feather in the cap for sure, and can't really, be taken for granted. She is going to give up 2 inches of height to Grasso. And look, Grasso was somebody who came up a very highly touted prospect. And, you know, it's almost lazy to say that she hasn't lived up to the expectations. But when you look back at what her, you know, what she was given in the UFC, everyone was really wrestling heavy, really takedown heavy. That's not Carolina. This is going to be a stand-up striking boxing match. And I think that we may just possibly be able to get the best version of Alexa Grasso. This, to me, is the quintessential over 2.5 rounds. This fight's going to go to decision. But Carolina is going to give Grasso the fight that she wants for the first time in her UFC career. And because of the bad style matchups that she got, that being Grasso in the past, I think you're really going to get a little, you know, getting a discount on this line, assuming, you know, this is what version that we see of her. But she's, you know, she's been out for a year. I think she's going to be able to work on that. And to me, this is just, you know, she doesn't have to worry about takedowns. She doesn't have to worry about all this type of stuff. This is kind of Grasso's style that she loves. And I really do favor her just about a pick'em line right there.
Once again, in the interest of time, and hopefully for next week, we'll have some of these technical issues ironed out. We'll jump down to the UFC Fight Pass portion of the card here. Eddie Wineland is a guy that, you know, may end up being your top pick here this weekend. What do you like so much about him?
Yeah, if you want me to rank him, I would probably put Ferguson as my top pick. Look, this is, you look at Grigory Popov, and he is somebody that I don't know why he's here, but he has fought gas cans, and he has done that on kind of a cushy regional scene, and that is what it is. You can only beat who's in front of you. I certainly understand that. He has no takedown defense to speak of, and he has even less than that, truthfully. It doesn't exist in his game. Lucky for him, Wineland doesn't really possess the most, you know, wrestling, but basic wrestling is going to be a problem for Popov. And if you get this, you know, if somehow he does, you know, manage to get by here, the first time he goes up against that grappler will be something I love to really exploit. That being said, when you watch his regional footage, one thing is very clear to me, and that is his kind of kick game and what he does. And again, defense is not his forte. He leaves himself incredibly open. And so to me, this is, you know, when he's going to be trying to kick at Wineland's basically his lead leg, he's going to be leaving his chin wide open because he does not have any defense. And to me, this is Wineland's heavy hands finding a home, first or second round knockout. To me, I really do favor Eddie Wineland in that spot.
Anything else you want to touch on here real quickly as we finish this thing up?
I mean, there's some polarizing fights around here, right? We got Kaitlyn Chookagian, who kind of, you know, getting Chookagian'd is something that is out there when you look back, and she really employs a similar style to Angela Hill, which is grunting, throwing punches at air, and somehow the judges kind of, you know, find that. And so Chookagian Calderwood is another one I see really going to a decision. Angela Hill to me is, when you look at Jan, at the 115 pound division in the women's, where this is, you know, styles make fights, right? And Angela Hill is going to give Jan the fight in a phone booth that Jan wants. She is a prolific finisher. And that is, you know, you've seen this kind of movement towards finishing in women's MMA inside the UFC. So to me, this one, I really do favor Jan against Angela Hill. I know it's kind of a heavier line here, but to me, I don't really see a path that Angela Hill nor Kaitlyn Chookagian kind of have in victory here. Definitely lean more towards Jan. But look, you know, Kaitlyn Chookagian is somebody that I can't bet on and I can't bet against because it's the most infuriating thing in the world. Angela Hill is kind of in that mold. But what I will say about this Angela Hill Zone and Jan fight is I wouldn't take the over, as I kind of, you know, implore people to blindly do when it comes to these type of fights at this weight class. I think that Jan probably finishes her off second, third round, if not wins a very comfortable decision. The last one I'll talk about is Aljamain Sterling. This to me is a really polarizing type of fight because I've seen professionals and I've seen sharps really split on this, and both are very convicted, whether they're on the side of Pedro Munhoz or Aljamain Sterling. Incredible reach advantage for Aljamain Sterling, 6.5 inches. I mean, I feel like he has that on everybody. If he can fight his fight, stick and move, fight from an incredibly frustrating distance, he should be able to point fight his way to a victory. When you have those long, long, long limbs in that kind of reach, you know, advantage, that's a lot of limbs flying around, and it only takes one for Munhoz to grab, pull down, and most people cannot get back up. Again, 6 of his 9 submissions by guillotine. Sterling has to be careful. If he tries to wrestle with Munhoz at all, this one's going to end in sub. But if he's able to, you know, it's going to be a fascinating style fight, but one I'm really not eyeing from a betting perspective. I think that's pretty much it when we talk about kind of the big picture stuff for the main card as well. The first two fights of the main card to me, not the most casual fan friendly to likely go to decision. Jan, the wide favorite, completely get it. He's pretty much better everywhere. And Jan by decision certainly makes some sense. The other one with Tai Tuivasa and Blagoy Ivanov is going to be a heavyweight snooze in my estimation. Certainly favor that over. Dirty boxing up against the cage. Ivanov never been finished, and that's kind of where Tuivasa lives. So that's kind of the rundown of the rest of the card, my man.
Well, we're off next week, and then in 2 weeks, we got Moicano and Korean Zombie down in Greenville, South Carolina on June 22nd, so we'll be able to talk about that card. Christian, I appreciate your patience, man, through all the hiccups and issues that we've had here. Thank you so much for joining me, bud, and we'll talk to you again here in a couple weeks.
All right, buddy. Have a great week, and enjoy the fights.
There you go. There's Christian Pina of the Sports Gambling Podcast. Lots of great stuff going on over at bangthebook.com right now. We've got previews for the card at Belmont this weekend, Belmont Stakes and the Acorn Stakes, MLB, NHL, NBA, NFL starting to come out now as well. Lots of good things going on over at the website. Make sure you check it all out. Bettors Box comes your way on Monday. That'll do it for me. Thank you so much for listening, everybody, and I will talk to you again on Monday.